Thank you for tuning in today for our podcast, 7210, the Chapel Series. 7210 is a production of Southwestern Christian University, produced by April Black, and I'm David Roman. Check out the university on our website at swcu.edu and find out more about the over 30 different degree programs that we offer. The campus is located at 7210 Northwest 39th Expressway in Bethany, Oklahoma. Stop by and check us out either on the web or at our main campus.
Good morning, SCU! Wow, it looks different from up here. That's Mr. Louder. Gotta love him. So like Dean Davis said, my name is Amanda Boves, for those of you who don't know. Before we get into it, I would just love to thank Chapel Band. So can we give it a round of applause for Chapel Band? That was honestly so good. Touched my heart. Oh my goodness, I tried not to cry because the one day I wear makeup. It's true. I don't do makeup. I also want to thank Dean Davis for asking me to share my testimony. And just thank you all for being here to go ahead and just listen to that. And just see how God has just moved in my life. I will probably move around. I can't just stay still. So Dean Davis said I was from Miami, Florida. 305 till I die. Anyone who has heard me say that just knows. My area code 305, and I will rep it forever no matter where I'm at. Born and raised in Miami, I definitely love the beach. I love all things hot, and I despise all things cold, except coffee. So I'm a junior, but I'll be graduating in May, so super excited about that. And for those of you who don't know, I am one of your campus chaplains and also the RA of the North. Those are my third floor ladies. And so I'm also majoring in intercultural studies. And so you ask, what even is that? Essentially, it's missions. And so I really have a heart to see people have a chance to hear and respond to the gospel, not just in my own backyard, but in other nations. And so going off of that, last summer, 2018, I spent 2 months in Haiti. And so I was interning with an organization called Mission of Hope. And that internship rocked my world. I was like, whoa. It was a chance to finally be immersed in a culture that was kind of different from my own, but also be able to share the gospel and see how people respond. And I learned so much from that and forever grateful to Mission of Hope for that. And then this past summer, I lived in the Dominican Republic for 2 months. There's some people from the DR here. Honestly, again, incredible internship, continue to rock my world. And it was just, I think working both summers, not only did it change me, not only did I see the gospel and see people respond, but there was so much internal reflection that happened. And so imagine you're being away from everyone you know, like your family. I went to Haiti knowing very few people, but came out with a family. But there was so much reflection that happened, and part of that was learning more about my own story. I think we all have a story, but sometimes we don't pay much attention to it, or we don't recognize its value. And so whether you grew up in the church your whole life and haven't made mistakes, or you've made super huge mistakes and feel like you can't come back, it's a story, it matters, and someone somewhere needs to hear it. And so that's what I want to get out, that if you don't get anything from what I say, get this: your story matters. And your story is not my story. Don't compare your story to mine, because it's not going to do anything. Comparison is going to kill your joy. And there's so much joy to be found in stories. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to kick off. So my family. So, wow. I come from a very diverse family. My mom was born and raised in Germany. My dad was born and raised in Honduras. My mom was born and raised Jehovah's Witness. And so, not to get into too much of that, but basically, it's like the wrong version of the Bible. Let's keep it that way. And let's just go with that. Bible. One true Bible truth. And then my dad, he came to the States when he was 14, and his dad sent him to come live with his stepmom. So his dad had gotten remarried in Miami, And so my dad left his family and stuff down in Honduras. He gained a new family, step family. I love all of his step family. They're all my aunts and my uncles and my cousins, and it goes on forever. Oddly enough, neither one of them followed religion, but they met in church. My dad came into the marriage with my sister, who's my god sister, and we won't get into that, that's complicated, but it's my sister. And then my mom came into the marriage with my oldest brother, and so she was previously in a relationship, very abusive, physically, verbally, and she said, as long as you grant me a divorce, I won't report it. And so that's exactly what happened. My mom, so much to learn from her. She's an incredible woman. She just extended grace and love to him, even when he didn't deserve it. And he brought a lot of hurt into her, and then that came into my family. And it was just a lot before I was even born. But actually, now he comes to every family event. He has his own family, and we all act as one. And so, through their love, through how she's treated him, through how my father has treated him, he now is a police officer, and it changed his life around, and he is part of our family too. So that's just a little bit of where I come from. So there's a lot of random family members that I'm still learning about. There's a lot of ups and downs, twists and turns, just because there's so many people involved, and people are not perfect, and so we can just assume that there's gonna be issues. So my family, like I said, my parents didn't grow up in church, but once they got into church, they quickly got involved. So by the time I was 3 years old, we moved into a house kind of a little away from Miami, like the city part, and that's where we currently live, been there my whole life. And they found this church, Miami Vineyard, and we've been going there, and we still go there now. At Miami Vineyard, they went ahead and got involved, like I said. Once I was in middle school and I was able to start taking care of myself and doing things, they started leading small groups. So if they were at church, I was at church. And that kind of turned into our daily routine. I think there was one point where I could calculate I was at church every single day, except probably one day a week. And you would think that that is so awesome. You would think, wow, she's just in church living her best life. You're so wrong. So stinking wrong. By the time I hit high school, I was leading small groups. I was leading people my own age. There were leaders in the church that recognized my leadership ability. They recognized things in me, and that was great. But instead of cultivating it, instead of helping me, instead of guiding me, they kind of just saw it and threw me in wherever there was a void. And so that took a toll on me because I was already a senior in high school and we had clocked hours so that I could put it for graduation. And if you go back to every event, every service, I had clocked over 4,000 community service because all my time was at church. And I thought it was great, and I was super happy to be at church, and everything was in the name of Jesus, and I was like, yes, God and I are super good. Later on in life, I got a slap in the face and realized I was so wrong. Come February of 2017, my youth pastor called me into a meeting with a couple of my best friends, and he said, in a matter of hours, he said, you are removed from all leadership, effective immediately once you leave, which we had an event that night, and he said, don't bother leading it, don't bother advising anyone, don't do anything. If you want to show up, show up, don't do anything else. I said, what? I almost lost my mind. Like, they literally almost called the ambulance because I was crying so hard and I couldn't breathe. My mentor was in the room and she was like, didn't know what to do. I cried harder than I've ever cried in my life that day. And I'll tell you why. Because all my identity was found in what I was doing instead of who I was serving. I thought I had nothing without leadership. I thought if I was not leading this group, if I was not overseeing this people, if I was not here, if I was not there, the church wouldn't function. How would this happen? If I was, everything was I. Everything. And I got a huge slap in the face, and God woke me up and said, it's not about you. I looked at my youth pastor, I said, well, how are you going to do this? Which, some of you who know me, you know I got a little attitude. I said, so, mind you, I was upset already. I said, how you plan on doing this? I had planned events through that summer, because I was graduating. I was bringing people up to take my position. I was involved in so many things. I said, so how you plan on doing it? And he said, don't worry about it, that's not your business. I said, okay, whatever. Walked out of the meeting. All of my best friends, we were all shaken up. Right now, one of them doesn't go to church anymore. One of them is a youth director at that same church. And one of them is at another Christian university in Indiana. We're all still pretty close. But I'm closer to the director and the student in Indiana. Those are my girls. But it just shows how one thing can affect so many different lives. But I think, jumping back to my part in this, it was crazy to think that it was all over. And I told my parents knew what I had done, and so he kicked me off of leadership because of some misinformation that he heard. So somebody said that they saw us somewhere doing something, which half of it was not wrong. But the other half that he had based his decision on was what was wrong. But long story short, I was caught at a party. It was a small little party, small little get-together, drinking. That's the problem. I was still in high school. So he told us that we shouldn't have been drinking. It was breaking the laws of the land, and he was saying a bunch of stuff. To be honest, could care less at the time. I was like, okay, I'm over you. Just let me out of this office. But it came to a point where I realized how much being in church affected me and how much it affected my family, because now I had all this time to spend with my family, but I didn't know what to do with it. Whenever my parents would put together a party or host something at the beach or do whatever, I can't, I gotta go to church. So I missed out on hanging out with my family. I missed out on being part of their life and them being part of mine, that our relationship was so broken. I couldn't tell you three things about anyone in my family within that year. I couldn't tell you what they were struggling with, because I didn't care. My time was in school. My time was in church. And school, majority of the time, still took the backseat to church. And that affected me. I almost didn't graduate high school. I can tell you right now, I was in my counselor's office. Y'all, look, I'm pretty slick, and I'm going to give myself props for that right now. But there's a form that you have to sign. You get a card, and then you need a bunch of signatures to graduate. I showed up to my counselor. I said, hey, I need you to sign this. She said, you're not clear. I said, I need you to sign this. I got it. And we had just built this relationship. And she went ahead and she took my card. She got every signature I needed, because if I didn't get it by a deadline, I wouldn't walk. She went. I wasn't cleared. I wasn't ready. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was shaking, almost peed myself. I was like, how am I going to get this done? And the morning of graduation, because she went and got all those signatures, I was able to get my cap and gown. Held my cap and gown in my hand, still didn't know if I was able to walk. The morning of graduation, I passed my last exam. It was put in the grade book. Everything was finalized. And I met GPA, I met every requirement, and I walked that same day. It kind of scares me to think that it was that close of a call, that I had put so much on the back that I just forgot about every responsibility I had, or forgot about everything. And all glory to God that I was able to complete it, that I was able to finish. And so walking away from that, I was like, I will never do that again. I still fall. Turn in a couple late assignments here and there. If you're my professor, don't look at me. They know. Oh, so much grace. But we'll fast forward. And so that was kind of just graduation and stuff. But in May of that same year, I lost my grandmother. She was my world. She was my rock. And so May 8th, I get a phone call from my mom that my grandma passed away, and she was on her way to my grandma's house. And then I told her, okay, I'll meet you there. Rewind. I almost said fast forward. Rewind. 3 months ago, I met with my grandma. Like 3 months prior to her death, I met with her, because a year prior to that, I had not said a word to her. I was tired of talking to her because every time I talked to her, she talked about my weight. She talked about, but then would feed me this huge old plate, whatever. That's another story for another day. Everybody has that grandma, oh my goodness, you're gaining, and she was a little Dominican, so with her little Spanish, you're gaining so much weight, but here, eat some plantains. Here, eat some, oh, she made me fat. It was all her fault. But I was just like, that whole year, she had done so much hurt to me, and I let it build up without even talking to her. One day, I got in my car, and I said, I'm sick of this. I drove to her house, because little old lady wasn't going anywhere, and I knocked on her door, and we sat, and we talked. I said, you need to sit. We need to have a conversation, because I want a relationship with you. I want to talk to you. I want these things. She sat down. I told her everything, and she just cried. She never had the intention of hurting me or anything like that. But one thing I want to tell you, people in your life don't always know that they're hurting you. And even if you do, you extend grace. Through that, I realized how many times I hurt God. How many times I said things that were not pleasing. How many times I acted in ways that were not pleasing. How many times I did things that made God probably mad at me, frustrated. And I let it sink in that I was not worthy anymore. So I'm sitting here, just kicked off of leadership, dealing with the death of my grandmother. And in the middle of all of it, God still continues to show me he's there. I showed up to the house. I went ahead, and we were there for a couple hours before they came to pick up her body. And one guy showed up. I'm not going to cry. One guy showed up to carry my grandmother. And my mother was still in the room. My sister was still in the room, which my sister lived with my grandmother. So it was like losing a mom. I looked at the guy, because you could tell he was kind of struggling to get her body. I looked at him, and I said, do you need help? It was so hard. I remember minutes before that, there was a feeling of ask him if he needs help, and I said, God, you are out of your mind. There's no way I'm picking up a dead body. You are out of your mind. It's not even wrapped. It's not in a casket. It's not anything. I'm not doing it. And this was all in the span of a couple minutes. And then I remember, like, clearly, I said, God, I'm upset. God, I don't understand. But we're going to talk about it later. A part of me knew I needed to do it. And I knew God would be there after so I could talk to him about it. So I went ahead and I did it. Carried her body with this random stranger. And he just took her away. That was tough. But that was strength and not my own. The strength of the Lord. Everything that I have been going through, plus medical issues, both my knees, my spine, and my shoulders. The doctor was like, I don't know how you're walking right now. I was like, oh, me either. I didn't know all of this was wrong. So all of this is going on. And what did I do? Everything I shouldn't have. Every one of my friends knew they could find me at the same club at the same time every Friday. Everything that was going on, getting kicked out of church, I was like, well, cool, if the church doesn't care about me, then I'm going to go do my own thing because it doesn't matter. I was still in the club. I was still doing these random things, still in church. I couldn't let go of church. I couldn't let go of God all the way because even when I messed up, I would pray. Even when I messed up, I knew I hurt him, but I couldn't stop. And I found myself in this tug of war, this constant tug of war. And I just didn't know what to do anymore. I was sleeping with the wrong people. To be honest, I can't even tell you some of their names because I don't remember. Not just because I don't want to, but because I don't remember. I was involved with the wrong people and the right people. Who I thought were the right people didn't guide me. They didn't, like the church just left me. And I'll tell you right now, I still go to that church. That is still the church that I attend. Because I went and I talked to leadership and I said, you know, it's not right. They sent apologies. It was a lot of back and forth, but finally my relationship with the church was better. It was good. To this day, we're good. Those are some of my people that I run to even while I'm here. Fast forward, 2017, fall, SCU. I was so excited to come. Everything that I had been going through, I saw this as a fresh start. I didn't know why I was at SCU. And when I applied, I didn't know where Oklahoma was on a map. But I told my mom through phone call, because I never visited the school. I told my mom, I was like, hey, I'm going to Southwestern Christian University. It's in Oklahoma. I need to pay the housing deposit. And she goes, oh, okay. I said, did you just hear me? She was like, yeah, you prayed about it, didn't you? I was like, dang, she got me. I was like, yeah, I did. And so my parents just trusted that, came to Southwestern. My first semester was crazy. I was dealing with everything that had just happened. And then the Lord just began shaping me, molding me, changing me. I can take you to 2F in the glass house and take you to the point where I said, God, I'm done. And I got on my knees by myself and I just prayed. I think it was like an hour or two. I just sat there confessing, praying, because that wasn't who I wanted to be anymore. And I was tired of playing tug of war. I am not fit to be playing tug of war. I'm done. I said, God, I'm done. I'm done. I'm over it. And he forgave me. I said, God, I was angry at you. He said, mm-hmm. He forgave me. He knew my heart. He knew my actions. He knew everything I had ever done, even when I didn't invite him into it, and he still loved me. Out of everything that has ever happened, even things that I just don't need to share. If you hear nothing else, you hear that your story is important, just like mine is. It's not the same, but there's so many lessons to be learned from it. One thing that took me forever was to reflect on my own story. A lot of times we don't take time to reflect. You're probably here either up in the club drinking, smoking. We know. But you're still in chapel, and you're still around the right people. Reach out. There's so many people here that are willing to help you, that are willing to guide you, and it's not going to be easy. Starting at Southwestern, I lost friends. People I thought, like, we literally planned that our kids were going to play on the same basketball league are people I won't even talk to. Not because I have anything against them, but because God showed me that where I was going, they could not come to. And I said, okay. It's going to hurt. There's going to be friends that will no longer be friends. People you won't talk to. Things you just won't do anymore. When I tell you I used to cuss so bad, every other word, I could not get a sentence out without two or three cuss words in there. It could not happen. And I tried on my own. And it wasn't until I gave up everything. I said, God, I'm done. God, I'm done with my mouth. God, I'm done with my actions. God, I'm done with all of it. I don't want it. It wasn't until I truly believed that he could do it that he did it. He did it for me. He can do it for you. Our story's not the same. But you have your own struggles. You have your own things that you deal with or have dealt with. And God is just waiting. Invite him into that. Came all the way to Southwestern to meet a man who would then show me what I was doing was wrong, what I was involved with was wrong, loved me, forgave me. Sorry, I don't speak English. Forgave me, loved me. But not in a way that I have ever experienced before. I was in a relationship before, and I thought, well, this guy's in church, so duh, of course, he's got to be the best, just like me. I told you I was messed up, so was he. But we walked and we did this random things together. And finally, in Southwestern, I met a godly man who was going to call me out, who was going to support it with Bible, who was going to walk through, because I went back home in December and there was leadership that I had to talk to about other sin in my life, things that had happened within the church that I didn't know about. That December was part of that healing, and that man walked with me through it. And that whole time, not only, and it's not about him, but it's about him reflecting Jesus so well. Not even in a relationship, but as a friendship. Surround yourself with people that are going to point you back to Jesus. That are going to say, hey, not only are you going to get a fine from Res Life for those cuss words, but you know that that's not pleasing to the Lord. The words that come out of your mouth are not pleasing to the people around you. They're not life-giving to the people around you. Are your actions bringing people down or lifting them up? Is everything you're doing pointing people to Jesus? I realized nothing I was doing was pointing people to Jesus, but I was claiming to be. So I gave it up. I said, all right, God, you got me. Every piece of me, you got it. And I can stand here 2 years later and say, I've forgiven myself. I knew God forgave me. I got it. Check. But I still wrestled with these things, and I was confused. I was like, God, I know you forgave me. Why do I still wrestle with it? Because I didn't forgive myself. This is where self-reflection is just so important. I had to move forward knowing that I was clean, knowing that Jesus is enough, knowing that his sacrifice on the cross was it. And I'm not called to walk into that. I am made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, God said, let us make mankind in our image. And he did. So for me to say I'm not beautiful, for me to say I am unworthy, for me to say that everything wrong in my life defines me, is to say that everything that Jesus did was for nothing. And I will never say that. It was enough. Because he loved me, he did it. And because he loved me, and the way he shows that in the Bible, I'm able to better love myself and better love the people around me. I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for God. Literally. Who comes to the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, to a school with 500 students? Coming from a graduating class of more than 500 students, if it wasn't for God. I didn't come for athletics. I wasn't recruited. Found the school on a random Instagram post. Got accepted before they even sent me my letter. I remember being here my freshman year, my first semester. My brother called me and said, hey, your school sent a letter. I said, cool, open it. What does it say? He goes, you're accepted? We're both real confused. But because that process was all God. It was all through a phone call, through text, got my scores in, got everything. There's nothing normal about my acceptance to SCU. Nothing. They got back to me within like a week because I told God if they didn't, I was going to go somewhere else. I was going to stay in Miami and pursue music. I was going to become a sound engineer, and that path was lined up. The scholarship was lined up. Everything was lined up. And I came here to do missions. I thought, money, music, I'm happy. But I wasn't. It wasn't until I let God in that I realized everything my life could be. Everything my life should be, and everything it wasn't. So I'll close with this. My story is important, and I'm sure somebody here heard it. In this whole room, even if one person heard one section and it impacted you, I can go to sleep real happy. Your story is important. And don't be afraid to share it. People want to hear it when you're willing to share it. This is probably sixth time that I've shared the entire thing from start to finish. I've shared bits and pieces. But it's so important. The value that you have, the value that God has placed on your life, Don't overlook it. Reflect and follow through. Understanding that you have to give up everything. And not just the bits and pieces that you want to give up. Okay, God, I'll give up drinking. Okay, God, I'll give up cussing. No, I said, God, I give it all up. God, I'm done with all of it. And I let him into every room of my heart. When I tell you some rooms were nasty, and he came in and cleaned them. Some rooms were broken. I don't know how they were still standing. He came in and he fixed them. I give glory to God for my story, for where he's placed me, and for where he is continuing to put me. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in today for our podcast, 7210, The Chapel Series. 7210 is a production of Southwestern Christian University, produced by April Black, and I'm David Roman. Check out the university on our website at swcu.edu and find out more about the over 30 different degree programs that we offer. The campus is located at 7210 Northwest 39th Expressway in Bethany, Oklahoma. Stop by and check us out either on the web or at our main campus.